I kept asking the Lord what it was that he wanted to say, what he wanted to talk about. I kept having a theme come to me of the Lord wanting to talk about faithfulness. And I kept asking him, Lord, this is kind of a boring topic on fruit of the Spirit, and this is something that I like to harp on about from time to time at work and different things, and it's kind of a favorite topic of mom and some other people. Like, are you sure this isn't just like a favorite topic you want me to just kind of talk about, or is this really you? And he said, I will build my house. I will build my house. And that was the whole word of the Lord. And I was like, okay, let me do a little digging and find out, Lord, how do you want to build your house? Because he didn't go into a lot of detail about it. But it was just a very strong, when he said it, I got it very strong, loud and clear. That's what he wants right now for me to focus on. So faithfulness. Faithfulness is a really underrated quality that you can have in a person. It's not something that you really hear about on the news. If you're lucky, someone might give you a little pin or button at work if you've been around for a while, or if you stick around with your spouse or something, or with a friend, maybe that person will appreciate you, take you out to dinner or something. But it's not really something that is celebrated a whole lot today in our culture. But it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not very flashy, though. And in our culture, we really have a tendency to take faithful people for granted. We really have a tendency to either just kind of, it's not that we necessarily look down on them. We just sort of always expect, if someone's faithful, you just kind of always expect that from them. You always expect they're going to be there, and you never really necessarily stop to think about how hard work it is for them to be that way or for them to treat you in that manner. We just kind of, a lot of times, ignore it. But without that person and that quality in them, we really suffer a lot, we find out, when they're gone. Americans are always looking for the next best thing, and relationships in the world are short, and they get shorter and shorter every year. Although right now in the U.S., the divorce rate has actually been dropping for quite some time. It's not because of positive reasons. It's because fewer people are getting married. yeah. So if you don't make a commitment in the first place, how can you be unfaithful to break it? You know what I mean? Like, people are just, they're not even trying as much as they used to. But it's a really big deal in the Bible. It's a huge thing in the Bible. It's a huge thing to the Lord. It's one of his names. He is called He Who Is Faithful and True. And it's also translated a lot in the Old Testament as loving kindness. Just as one big word called loving kindness. And it's kind of an awkward term. We don't really use it. I don't think it translates very well for us today. But when you think of loving kindness, you have to think of someone, or you have to think of it as a personal way, almost like a parent or a grandparent, that no matter what happens, they are always consistently kind and loving no matter what. And it has a sense of eternity with it. When you read the scriptures about it, it's a sense of continuity, steadfastness. And then in the New Testament, every time you see the word faithful, it's always a lot of time with the word true. Like, this person is true. You have to think about my true love, my one true love. It's a type of, being true that way is a type of dedication where a person is single-mindedly going in a certain direction and they're not going to change. Amen. They have integrity where who they are and what they do is going to stay the same all the time, and you can't change it. And it's a positive type. It's not like stubbornness or hard-headedness. It's just, this person is like gold, or they're like silver. They don't have anything in them that is corrupt or fragile or breakable. They just are, they're strong and they're there. And that's a good picture of Jesus and who he is to us and our Father in heaven and what he is to us. And but it's not enough for him to be that way. He wants us to be that way too. And that's the hard part, right? A me-based love will never be faithful long-term because people will always fail you. If you love people based on how they behave, you will lose your love because people make mistakes. They sin purposely or accidentally. And the Lord loves us anyway. No matter what we do, he is faithful and true to love us with his patience, long-suffering, and kindness towards us, even generations later. So you have examples of kings and people in the Bible that God was gracious to them because of, he said, my son David, my servant David, because they had an ancestor who loved the Lord. So a lot of us here are enjoying blessings from ancestors that loved God generations ago, and we don't even know it half the time. And the Lord's going to be faithful to our kids and those that we invest in down the road. The blessings that we get from him, we get to pass on to the next generation. All right. So the house of the Lord is a house that is not built with human hands. We need to understand that. It's not these four walls. You can just look around, poke the person next to you, and say, you're the house. You're the house. Yep. So it's the disciples of the Lord and the people of the church. They're the ones. Yep. We are the house of the Lord. So when he wants to build the house, he wants to build us. He wants us to build each other. It doesn't necessarily mean he wants us to go do volunteer work, although that really helps. He's talking about the body of Christ. We are a vessel. We are the resting place of the Most High God. And so we always, as David liked to say in the Psalms, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I say that a lot in the car when I'm driving to and from places to try to get my attitude right before I show up to wherever I'm going. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes when I go places, I have a little bit of anxiety about it, and so then I get a bad attitude. So a lot of times I say this, it's something I learned when I was at Lee University. At college, we would say that to open up every service. And you just have to kind of work on keeping it in check. Because faithfulness is not something that you can just cause to happen automatically. It just doesn't appear. It's not a fruit that you can automatically get. It's not a prize that you can win. You can't purchase it with money. You can't buy a faithful person anyway. You can try to bribe them to be faithful, but a bribable person is going to be gone instantly as soon as somebody else comes up with something better. A faithful person isn't like that. I've been studying a lot about vines and winemaking. I planted a couple grapevines at my house that are muscadine grapes. And I got some delicious eating grapes that I want to plant up here at the church for Grandpa to eat, some tasty red grapes to munch on. And one thing I learned is when you deal with a grape, how can you tell if the fruit is ripe or if it's sour? It's really hard to tell with grapes sometimes. You can't just look at them and know. But there's one surefire way to know. You split it open and look at the color of the seed. If the seed is black, the fruit is ripe. Even if the grape is a green grape, you know that fruit is ripe. When the seed is fully developed and ready to plant and put into the ground, that's how you know you've got some good-tasting fruit. You could probably do the same thing with a tomato. You can split open a tomato if those seeds are green instead of yellow or beige color. You know that's not going to be a good-tasting tomato. You just stick it back in the fridge. And that's the same way with us. God wants us to be the type of people that when we are ready to present something good to the world and do something good and serve him in a wonderful way, then that's how he knows that we have good fruit in our lives. I heard a really good quote when I was learning about it. And that is when you have any type of farming, the best fertilizer for the field is the shadow of the owner, is what he said. If you want to have a successful venture, a successful business, be successful in life, you have to be there with your feet on the ground and your hands involved in whatever your project you're doing. It could be any type of project. The way to make it succeed the most is to just be there 100% and not be running here and there and off and everywhere to do other things. In winemaking, before you had machines harvesting, pickers would go out, they'd put baskets under the vines and beat the vines with padded clubs so that they would fall down into baskets, or they would handpick. And then they would trample them with their feet. Jesus is that grape. Jesus is the one who was beaten for us and striped and trampled on the cross so that he could make for us a way for us to be faithful. He was faithful to us to the point of death with the cross so that he could be with us forever and we could be with him forever. Our God will never forsake us. He will never abandon us. He was with us to the point of death. He will never leave us no matter what we're going through. The hired hand runs when the lion comes. Our God is not like that. But the shepherd stands against the thief, the lion, and the bear. He is that God for us, no matter what we're facing. He will never run from us or away from us. He will always run towards us. Faithfulness and the ability to stand during trouble, though, requires a whole lot of grace. It requires a strength of spirit, and it doesn't come naturally. Our natural instinct is, they call it fight or flight, is what psychologists call it. That when something bad happens, either we want to immediately run away and avoid, or we put our fist up and we want to, fight back. This is totally the opposite of faithfulness and the fruit of the Spirit. This requires testing. This is one of the fruits of the Spirit that requires trying in the fire and tribulations in order to reveal it. So there's certain things that you're like, hey, Lord, I want more fruit of the Spirit in your life. He'll say, okay, I'm going to send you some tests and trials and we'll see how you persevere. And then 5 minutes later, you like, why did I pray that prayer? What's wrong with me? I don't like this. Lord, why am I here going through these problems right now? He's like, but I want to develop something good in you. How do you know how good? How do you know that you've got Jesus in you unless somebody squeezes you hard enough for a little Jesus to come out? Usually what comes out of me is nothing good. I get my flesh will rise up and I'll get mean and nasty about it. But so the Lord will do it again. He'll poke you again. And again, and again, and each time he gives you another opportunity to show Jesus. No matter how many times you fail at showing Jesus, he'll give you another one. Say, okay, you didn't do too well in that test. Let's put you under a little more pressure and see how you handle it this time. And Jesus is like, I'm still here. Use me whenever you want. And you just got to remember to do it. Anyway, there's a difference between old wine and new wine. One of the things I learned when we're trying to make some wine, it hasn't gone so well. I don't know if it's going to work out, but there's no substitute for age in the process, is what they say. You can add different chemicals, even things like clay or sulfites or whatever, to try to speed up your winemaking or smooth it out. But the only thing that really works to clarify it and make it good is time. There's no substitute for it. And also, there's no substitute for an old vine versus a young vine. Because the young vine will put out too many leaves and too much fruit, and then when the frost comes, it will die. It will work itself to death. You need something that's really strong, and you need to prune it hard, or it will not survive. Jesus talked about that with pruning. He says, I cut off every branch which doesn't bear good fruit, and if he loves the vine, he prunes it. So God will put pressure on us and pare us back sometimes so that we don't overdo it and burn ourselves out before we're supposed to. And he gives us time. Some of the good things in life only come with time. You can't speed them up. You can't fake them. You just have to let them be until they're ready. And there are, if you ever know some apostles in the faith that have been around a long time, there's something about them that's a sweetness and a gentleness that when you get around them, you know instantly, this person has been walking with the Lord for a really long time. You just know instantly. Something about the way they talk. Being faithful to the church and to Jesus means working with other people. You cannot be a people hater and be faithful to the vision that Christ has for his church. Sorry. Being faithful means not running off to do your own thing, whatever you want, however you want, whenever you want to do it. It requires sacrifice, and sometimes you have to put yourself aside. Sometimes you can't have your own way. Sometimes you have to make time when it's inconvenient to do stuff. This is called the cross. Flesh, meet cross. Cross means doing things that you don't want to do when you don't want to do it that are sometimes painful. But there's grace. Christ has given us grace so that we don't have to do it in sadness. He will even give us joy to make it easy and fun. Okay, did Jesus get what he deserved and what people owed him? No. He got what we deserve so that he could give us what was owed him. Yeah. Psalm 36, 5. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heaven. It reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Psalm 119, 90, your faithfulness is from generation to generation. You establish the earth and it will stand. As long as the earth exists, God will be faithful. If you hang tight to Jesus, you will be unshakable. But it's not an easy road to always get there, to be that unshakable person. Jesus came as a little child, even though he was the king of everything. He came in on a donkey. But for his disciples, he picked out people who were willing to stay up fishing all night, but who couldn't stay up for an hour to pray. You ever feel like the people in your life are that way? Or that you yourself are that way? I love to fish. I will fish for 10 hours straight, sunburnt without eating or drinking. Reading my Bible for an hour. I guess that makes me about like Peter, huh? You know? But there's grace. There's grace. But in order to build something like the church or your life, you have to guard and preserve what you started with as your foundation. You can look at Nehemiah, where the ones who built also kept a sword with them to defeat the enemy if they got attacked. When you try to stand faithful in your life and to follow something through that the Lord has given you to do, there's going to be opposition. And you have to hang in there. Don't let it go what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to be just because of a little opposition. Hang in there and be faithful. And guard your heart against the verbal warfare and the words of mockery and discouragement and taunts of the enemy. You're building something lasting and worthwhile. Doesn't matter what other people say. Or your own doubts in your heart, that voice that says, what are you doing? Sometimes you just have to squish it and move on. Being faithful does not just mean sleeping at your post or simply existing. It means like what we did today, not just necessarily sitting still in church, but getting up and praising. Or being available to go to extra meetings or do some other stuff besides in serving. Our church is really good about serving. That's one thing that I have good to say about our church is we're good at helping people. We're good for praying for people. We're good for going places and doing things. But it's much more comfortable to just exist and not move or do anything and not be stretched. It's hard. Because the writer of Hebrews said, faith without works is dead. We show our faithfulness by what we do, as well as who we are. Then we are rewarded in Christ. Jesus had a lot to say on this topic here and there. For example, he talked about the parable of the sower, where he scattered some seeds and some plants sprang up but then died immediately because they didn't have good roots. Paul talked about removing every hindrance and entanglement from running the race. There are obstacles in our lives that will keep us from being able to continue and be healthy and strong as Christians. We have to figure out what those obstacles are and work on chipping away at them and removing them. And they're different for everybody. I'm not going to assume I know what your obstacles are. I know what they are for me. But the Lord will reveal it to us what it is. If we ask him, he will faithfully tell us. Because he wants to build us up. And we need to think about how important this is, because it's not just, I'm going to be a good person by having a good character. What's the point of that? This is about souls. The church needs to be here because people need to be saved from the mess they're in. The enemy will come at us like a flood and try to drown you from time to time. Whether it's a health emergency, a financial emergency, a tragedy happening, anything can happen at any time. We don't know what's going to happen in this life. Things are going to come. Jesus said offenses are going to come. Things will happen. And so we need to have a place of safety prepared and to stand firm so that we know what to do when it does happen. And we need to make sure that we understand the faithfulness of the Lord, because that allows us to get through with a sense of peace and rest. We know since our God is faithful to be there for us, we don't have to fight and struggle. We know we're going to make it. Therefore, we can be at peace when all the storms are going on, because he's not going to abandon us. We can be secure in that. Jesus can carry us. He can even give us joy. There is enough room in the house of the Lord for everyone. He's faithful to all of us. There is no lack of any good thing. Our Father is going to give us every single thing we need for every situation, and the joy of the Lord can be an unstoppable force that nobody can take away. And if you are experiencing a season of weeping or a night season, we just need to hold on, because the joy will come. We just need to hang in there, and we need to help each other and support each other and pray for each other and be there for one another, whatever we need. Revelation 19:11. John, who was at that point the oldest living apostle, I think, a lot of bad things had happened to the various apostles at that point. Some of them got whacked by the Romans or the Jews. And John was in exile. Talk about being faithful. He was in jail on an island. He said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness does he judge and make war. God is going to make war on your behalf, because he's not going to let you alone in your situation. He's also called the Amen, or the Faithful Witness. 1 Corinthians 5:9. For in him you have been enriched in every way. In all your speaking, all your knowledge, all the testimony of Jesus Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gifts as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. We're not just going to barely make it. We're going to be strong to the end with a good report and a good word. Verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so there will be no divisions, and that you may perfectly be united in mind and thought. However, there's quarrels among you, but is Christ divided? Just kind of paraphrase that a little bit. So he was talking to the church in Corinthians, and they were having some issues and fighting over who was the most important apostle and what people needed to be doing where, and they just, it was tearing the church apart that Paul had built, and he did not like it. He wants everybody to be perfectly united in mind and thought. And so Paul just kind of gave him the backhand slap of love. And he says, don't you remember where you came from? Humble beginnings, verse 26 through 28. They were not wise, not influential, not of noble birth. God chose the stupid things of the world to shame the wise. But Paul is saying, why are you fighting with each other? You're poor. You came from a background. You were poor, stupid, and nobody knew who you were. Now you think you're somebody, so you're all bickering with each other and fighting. Why are you doing that? But at the same time, he said, so God chose us so that no one may boast before him. After we've been in Christ, life gets better. We get better. Things get improved. So things happen. Offenses come. Jesus said, offenses will come, but woe to him who they come through. You got to be like a little child. That's all in Matthew 18 and Luke 17. I'll let you look that one up later. We can't really brag about ourselves, how smart we are, how long we've been Christians, how good we look, and how much money we make. Every good thing we have comes straight from Jesus. And even then, we still manage to show our weakness from time to time. But Jesus is happy to shine through us, so we just need to go easy on each other. The Lord wants us to build each other up in the holy love with encouragement, grace, and prophecy. That's our job. We really need to avoid cliques as much as possible in the church and hang out with people that maybe are not our favorite people, that maybe you're not the most attractive seeming to us, that we may not have as much in common with. If we don't invest in those people, we're missing out on the richness and the fullness of the body of Christ. The only people we're hurting by doing that usually is us. There are people in the church who have a lot to offer me. I can look out and see everybody here. Everybody has a word, a scripture, a song of encouragement from the Lord. God speaks through everybody here through their different gifts. If I don't receive it from all of you, I'm impoverishing myself and my soul. I need to be open to hear from everybody and to know what they have to say so that I can build myself up. I will get stunted growth if I only listen to myself or to one or two other people. If I get too attached to a specific preacher or a specific message, or if I only hang out with people that are a certain age or a certain social background. I need to venture out sometimes. And I need to not run away from some of the tougher preaching and teaching that's out there. Sometimes I'm like, that person's message, I don't like it. Well, maybe there's something in that message offending me for a reason. I need to figure out what's in my heart and why. We're going to have different quarrels because of our functions, because of the giftings that God puts in us. A mouth is different from an eye, is different from a foot. A foot person is a person who's always going somewhere. An eye person is somebody with a lot of vision who's always seeing and discerning. A mouth person who's always speaking the word of the Lord and has a lot of cool stuff to say. But because we're functioning and flowing in different gifts, we don't always know how to interact with each other or how to understand the other person just because they're different from us. So we can either discourage that person because we don't understand them. We can run away and avoid them because they get on our nerves. The way they function is not the way I function. Or, you know, we can just decide to leave church early and not hang out with anybody and just be perfect in our own little bubble. But that's not Jesus. We have to actually make time for each other, hang out with each other. How can the body be built up if we do that, you know? We'll never get stronger in love. We'll never become more unified if we don't hang out with each other and actually have little conflicts and then resolve them and understand each other more if I don't have an argument with somebody, then I may never know what they really think. But then I have to forgive them, and I have to ask them to forgive me, and we can move on with our lives, and we'll know each other better and be more like family. That's natural. That's growth. Patience, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, temperance, peacemaking. None of that is easy for us, but it's really easy for Christ. Thank God it's easy for Jesus. So the answer is to get into Jesus and let him renew our minds with his word and with worship and his presence, and that will make it easier for us to do that. That means we have to spend time in prayer, spend time in praise. We need to be good stewards of our emotions and have good life habits, that we do things like go to bed at night, get up in the morning and read the Bible. If we do stuff like that, it helps a whole lot. My husband knows if I stay up all night and I get up the next morning and the kids are up before I am and I haven't had any time with the Lord, what kind of he doesn't want to be in the house with me after that. He's about ready to jump out the window. When I lived in the church, I had a really rough time with having relationships with Christians in the church, because I'd be in my bathrobe trying to drink my coffee and wake up, and people would just pop in without knocking, without calling ahead. It was so rude. It drove me insane. I like to have boundaries with people. I don't like to be surprised when I'm not ready to meet somebody. That's just my personality. Other people are just like, come on in anytime. And they're just happy to see you whenever, however. I'm not that person. And I had to deal with that and work through with that when I lived here at the church. And, now I live out in the country and nobody can find me. I have the opposite problem. I actually kind of miss people dropping by whenever, because I get out there and I get lonely and I have to be purposeful and be like, all right, I need to pick up the phone and I need to call somebody, or I need to get in the car and I need to drive somewhere and see somebody. Different, totally different thing. So whichever situation you find yourself in, you have to figure out your strategy. All right. Matthew 25:23. This is the story about the 10 talents. So a man went on a journey. He gave different amounts of money to different servants, and then he was gone for years. I mean, back then, people would go on business trips that would take 2 or 3 years, because it would just take you that long to go by boat or donkey or whatever from city to city. And some servants were really good at investing their money and using it to increase it. And there was one guy that was ticked off, and he buried his in the ground, and he got fussed at when the master got back. The master said to every servant who invested, good and well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with the little things, or a few things. Therefore, I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And then he increased. He gave them double what he'd given them before. Now, the one servant that had buried stuff in the ground, he said, I know what you're like. He fussed at the master and said, you're making money off the backs of us slaves. You want us to do all the hard work, and you get the benefit. Now, as a boss, I run into this attitude with my employees from time to time, that people that work for me, like, you don't want to be the type of employee that always hates your employer because you feel like the corporation's benefiting from your labor and, you know, you do all the hard work and nobody appreciates you the way you should be. It's easy to get in that mindset in different things. And we can get in that way with the Lord too, where you're like, Lord, I've been faithful all these years. I've been going to this church. I've been doing stuff. How come you haven't made me this, this, and this yet? How come, Lord, you haven't given me this breakthrough yet? Blah, blah, blah. I've been following you all this time. What thanks do I get? Does anybody recognize me or praise me in the church? How come I don't have a title and salary and blah, blah, blah? You never know what people are going to say. I've heard some things over the years. from the Lord's perspective, what Jesus was saying from the master is, I have the wealth. I'm going to give my wealth to you so that you can learn how to be faithful with it. And then once you have those habits, I can increase it and give you all the good stuff, and it will be for you. So when God puts us in these tests and trials, he's doing it because his heart is not to make us work without a reward. His heart is to make us work a little bit so that he can give us a huge amount. That will be us forever. It'll be ours to keep. And I got tested on this week. I was at Walmart at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, getting some school supplies for the tax-free weekend. I totally walked out of the store with an item underneath my pocketbook that I forgot to pay for. It's 11 o'clock at night, raining. I've been at work all day. I'm tired. Do I go back into the store and pay for this 59-cent item, or do I just drive off? And that scripture popped into my mind. He who is faithful in the little things is faithful in the much. He who is unrighteous in the very little thing is also unrighteous in much. If you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? That's Luke 16:10. I was like, ah, I hate you. Just like stomped back in there, paid for it, stomped back out, went home. Jesus said, little children, I am pleased to give you the riches of my Father's kingdom. He wants to bless us with a huge abundance. But he can only do it if we are willing to become the type of person who's faithful in the little tiny things when nobody else is looking. Our master knows. We can think nobody else is seeing us or watching us. Oh, he knows. He sees, like he caught me out in that parking lot. He was seeing me. He knew what was going on in my heart at that moment. And this is going to benefit us so much more than we will ever guess. Okay. What bad things can happen? I'm going to throw a couple scriptures really quickly out there. With offenses, we need to avoid offenses with each other whenever possible. We had a lot of offenses this week I ran into with some different people. Offenses are stumbling blocks that short-circuit the good work of God that he's trying to do in our lives and in the church. Proverbs 18:19, a brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like bars of a castle. Revelation 2:10, 11. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. So we're influenced by Western culture. Western culture has a lot of influence from hedonism. Hedonism comes from the Greek philosophers through the Romans. I took some Christian philosophy classes. It's something that's interesting that we find out. Anyway, especially the younger generation, this is a problem with millennials, which is my generation, is that if a person believes that this world is all there is, we want to do all the fun stuff now and have all the good stuff now. We're not willing to wait, and we're not willing to put in our time and be patient and go through hardship and annoyance and boringness and inconvenience so that we can have a reward later on, whether it's in heaven or even just 20 years from now. My generation doesn't have much in the way of savings accounts. Let's put it that way. Previous generations that went through like World War II and the Great Depression had a different mindset. They were like, save everything, work really hard, and be completely loyal in all of your friendships and relationships, because you don't know that other person is the only person. Like, people are all you have. You know, when people lost everything and had nothing to eat, and, you know, a huge percentage of the men were getting killed in war and from disease, then a totally different way of approaching life. Ancient times were more like that. You know, God, living in the Roman era was a tough, tough thing for Christians. You know, we just don't understand or know what they had to go through. But we still have crises in our lives, and hard times still come and hit us. Like I said, it could be something like a financial disaster. It could be a car wreck. It could be a health problem. It could be anything like that can happen. And we just need to have this strength to be faithful. Let's see. Jesus made some really good promises in the book of Revelation to churches who were faithful. And particularly, he talked about the church in Philadelphia, verses 10 through 13. So this is what we need to look forward to as our reward. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live upon the earth. Okay, so he's talking about, something like COVID. That was a trial. COVID is a trial that came upon the whole earth that caused a certain percentage of the population to sicken and die. Okay. It caused worldwide upheaval. This is a promise that when stuff like that happens, Jesus says, I am going to keep you in that, in the midst of that trial. I will keep you safe. I will stay with you. Okay. And that was, COVID has been a huge test. It was a test for the church, and it was a test for individuals on how they would handle that. And some people handled it better than others. Some governments handled it better than others. We all went through it. We all saw it. Jesus says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one can take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So there is an everlasting glory that comes through faithfulness from the Lord that you can't get any other way or from anywhere else. It's worth it. It's really worth it. If we can make it. And we can. He's going to make sure we will. All right. So let's pray. All right. Oh my. Like, let's... Hey, you guys can clap all you want. That doesn't mean I'm going to survive the next test that Lord throws at me. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. All right, Father, we come before you in humility like little children. And we just say, thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for your loving kindness to us. Thank you for all the good things that you have sent to us. And thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. And that generation to generation, you are the faithful one, Father. We ask that in this church in Wellspring that you would make us one. Amen. We ask for the prayer of the High Priest Jesus on this church to rest on us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, protect us from offenses and protect us from the spirit of offense. Protect our hearts and minds and emotions and help us open up to each other. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen the bonds that are between us. Strengthen this body. Strengthen also the church at large, Father, in Henry County, in Martinsville, and us, our relationships with other churches in North Carolina, Virginia, Philippines, all the different places that we visit and that we send our missionaries to, Father. And Lord, we just ask that you would strengthen your church, increase us in your love, grow us in your love for one another, grow us in power and in grace. Increase us in our love for the community and our neighbor. Teach us to love our neighbor and forgive us for every petty squabble and bad attitude that we have. And forgive us, Lord, for not noticing when somebody in the midst of us is hurting. Forgive us for not noticing when someone in our community is hurting. Enlarge our capacity to serve each other and to serve you. Give us a heart like a little child and multiply grace to us this week. Multiply grace to us in the coming days to endure and to stand to the end. Give us the ability to serve you in the little. Give us the ability to serve you in the much and to not be discouraged if any persecution comes our way. We thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you are with us through the end. Amen. All right, be blessed and go out.